take me along for the ride.
Algoa FM. 8:39. Well, here we go. Dr. Dean Allen, welcome to the Algoa FM studios. I see you are a senior academic at Bournemouth University in the UK and a research associate at Stellenbosch in South Africa. Where are you based?
Well, thank you for having me, Darren. It's lovely to be back in Port Elizabeth for a start. I'm actually based in the UK at the moment, but South Africa is where I consider home. This is where my heart and soul is. I actually lived here for 5 years, up to 2015, to last year. I was based in Cape Town. I worked at CPUT there. So, it feels like I've come home.
Tell me the book that you brought out, Empire, War and Cricket. Before we talk about what it's about... Why that particular topic, and how long in the making?
Well, it's been quite some journey. It really has captured the imagination of people here in South Africa. I mean, it's for my PhD, which took 5 years, and then another 5 years to turn into a book. So it's like 10 years of my life this
thing. Wow.
So it's quite an epic, and the book that's actually been produced is I'm really proud of. It's the story of Mikey's Fontaine and the history behind that incredible place in the Karoo, but it's a bigger story than that. As the title suggests, Empire, War and Cricket, we've got everything in there. We've got Cecil Rhodes, we've got the South African War, and we've got the first English cricket tours to South Africa. And that's what really has, as I said, captured the imagination. I mean, who would think that the creator of Mikey's Fontaine was the man responsible for bringing international cricket here?
Well, this is the thing that just reading through some of the background to the book, I had never heard of James Douglas Logan, who was a Victorian business tycoon, I understand, and responsible for developing the sport here.
Well, he's one of those characters that history has missed. And so when I discovered this incredible story, when I was doing research for my master's degree at Stellenbosch, I realised this was a bigger story. I mean, this is a film in the making, this thing. I mean, he arrived as a 19-year-old in 1877, and by the age of 25, this working-class Scot had built his own town in the Karoo. But of course, there's more to it. I mean, diamonds have been discovered. Mm. And he uses the game of cricket as almost of a smokescreen of how he achieved his wealth, as it were. He was a big cricket fan himself, but he realised that this empire game was so important politically and in terms of business. So he was responsible for bringing down the second English cricket tour, actually, in 1891. And there's a great story in the book of how he actually had the English cricket team arrested as they boarded their ship back to England because they didn't pay his money back that they owed him with interest. So it really is this shady world of politics and money and everything that was just lurking under the surface in this late Victorian period at this time.
And of course, for us here in Port Elizabeth, a special affinity because the very first cricket test match between South Africa and England played in the city.
Without a doubt. And what a pleasure it is to be giving a talk here in the town this morning. And, the first test match, of course, famously took place at St. George's Park. And a lot of people think that some of the first international matches took place out in the Karoo at Mikey's Fontaine. And they're not wrong because, as I said, James Logan was responsible for bringing the English cricket teams. And a lot of the world famous cricketers of the time had played at that funny little place out in the Karoo. But yeah, Port Elizabeth, of course, it's wonderful to be back here with such a strong cricket heritage.
Okay, so let's talk about the book itself. You say it's been well received. Critic reaction being good?
Very much so. Yeah, it was shortlisted for Non-Fiction Book of the Year last year, which was fantastic for a book with the word cricket in the title. But I think people have quickly realised it's about more than that. Obviously, we're now discussing that late colonial period, Cecil Rhodes and his legacy and those kind of things. And it's all contained within the book. I mean, incredible that the first line of the book is Cecil John Rhodes is on record as saying he'd only met two creators in his time, himself and James Douglas Logan, which is fantastic stuff. I mean, it's gone down really well. And now I've moved back to the UK, albeit for a short period, I hope. We've launched it in the UK as well. And it's as much about British and international history as it is about South Africa. I think people are realising that now. And it's been a real privilege to uncover this story.
What period would it cover? You say with the arrival of Logan, roughly, in South Africa, and then when do you finish off?
Well, it's the late Victorian period, so it really at the time of gold and diamonds. I mean, when this whole part of the world was revolutionised, when the British Empire focused its attention here. So, as I said, Logan arrived in the 1870s. He dies in 1920, and that's when my story kind of starts to wrap up. But I think there's a sequel here as well, because the legacy of what the type of man that he was and what he left, we're still playing cricket today, we're still visiting these kind of towns, we're still studying in institutions that these guys set up. But I think on a more serious note, there's a real need to debate this period period. I mean, obviously down in Cape Town with the UCT statue debate and Roads Must Fall, etc. I think it was inevitable, but it's been a privilege to be able to talk about that period and
You're not suggesting we need to stop playing cricket?
Certainly not. No. We want to continue that great game. Obviously, with the T20 just happening now, with the Proteas unfortunately, making an early exit. I think it's important to look at where sport came from and how it developed in this country. And we can learn a lot of lessons from the past, perhaps, as we go forward. I mean, there's a lot of themes within the book that people have embraced.
Mm. Well, if we don't learn our history, we'll never learn from it.
Well, exactly. That's what they say. We're destined to repeat it if we don't learn from it. And it's been an absolute privilege to have discovered this story and to have written such a book that, as I said, it means so much to so many people in this country.
Where would folk pick up a copy, should they be interested?
Well, it's available in all the good bookstores. It's published by Penguin Random House South Africa. Mm-hmm. And if you want any more information about myself, and I do a lot of talks around the country. I'm actually along the garden route this week, and I'm coming back in July. So please visit my website, which is at www.deanallen.co.za, and I'd be delighted to talk to your listeners about it.
We'll leave those contact details on our Facebook page as well, should anyone want to check them out. You've got a copy to give away?
I certainly have. Yeah, delighted to.
Okay, so here's the trick. You were listening closely to what Dr. Dean Allen had to say. What is the name of this Victorian business tycoon, hitherto overlooked largely by history, until the book Empire Worn Cricket in South Africa came along? What is the name of this Victorian business tycoon who's credited with introducing and developing the game in its early stages in South Africa? On SMS, please text the word ALGOA, your answer and your name, send it off to the number 41851. VAS rates of R1.50 will apply, and from all the correct answers, by way of lucky draw, we will pick one winner who will get a signed copy. Dean doesn't know that yet. A signed copy of Empire, War and Cricket in South Africa. Dean, been a pleasure. Hope you enjoy your stay in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, Darren, what a pleasure. And can I just say, anyone in the area, I'll be talking at the Newton Park Library Auditorium at 10 a.m. this morning, so please pop down.
Oh, you haven't got much time.
Indeed, thank you.
10 a.m. Thank you, Dean.